Thank you again, Mr. Thuvanen, and again, good Sabbath to everyone and those who have joined us. I kind of wonder a little bit of how many will have forgotten and will show up here later, but we'll find that out, won't we, or join on the cybercast as well. Around the days of unleavened bread, some of the messages had to do with God's gift to us through His Holy Spirit, and we looked at the subject of the gifts of the Holy Spirit from Galatians chapter 5, and you remember this, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Sometimes this whole concept is hard for us to understand and to use. Why? Because we're physical, and the blessings from God through His Spirit are spiritual. God also provides for us the will and the to-do. All we need to do is to ask Him to help us to use those gifts. We looked at self-control and considered the blessings from God, the virtues of these blessings, the gifts that God gave us, those gifts from the Holy Spirit or through the Holy Spirit. Also mentioned our relationship with God and how we use His gifts and how we should use His gifts and the virtues that all this ties into. Today we will look at a different virtue and try to connect with what this particular virtue looks like in action. And hopefully each of us can look at how we might use the particular gifts from God, and this one in particular, as God gives us more effective growing and overcoming to draw closer to Him as we use the different gifts that He has given us. If you're looking for a title, you might want to use this one here with this particular gift, the faithful virtue. From the title, we might think that faith is the topic, and in a sense, absolutely, because it ties into the particular virtue or the particular gift from God's Holy Spirit, and that is faithfulness. Honestly, we do need to look at faith itself to understand what faithfulness is. When we were baptized, we received the gift from God of His Holy Spirit, a small portion or an earnest of His Spirit. It is up to us to put that particular gift into use, to grow and to use it to get closer to God. And it takes effort from each of us in each one of these things. We can't do it for somebody else. Each one of us separately must take that effort and move forward in using all of God's gifts. In Hebrews chapter 11, we read the meaning of the word faith, something I think the verse that we're all familiar with. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. This is probably the most concise and well-known definition of faith found in the Bible. It is considered a classic definition. There's so much wrapped up in these few words. Faith is both the substance of things hoped for and the evidence that things exist that are not yet perceived by any of our five senses. First, if you're looking for writing notes down, the first thing we'll cover is this element of that faith is substance. The New Testament was written in Greek, and the Greek word translated substance is hypostasis, H-U-P-O-S-T-A-S-I-S. It means that which stands under. The meaning is that which has real existence, the basic essence, the actual reality, the substance of something. Hypostasis. It is a condition of our heart, on the spiritual side, is a condition of our heart that is as real to God as the thing we asked for is to us when we receive it. In Hebrews chapter 1, if you want to turn there, it is the exact image of the thing we asked for, hypostasis. But in this particular verse, it's translated image. Hebrews chapter 1, verse 3. Who being the shining splendor of His glory and the express image of His essence, and upholding all things by the word of His power, having made perfection of our sins. through himself, he sat down on the right hand of the Majesty on high. When we receive what we prayed for, the image that is in our mind is replaced by the actual real thing. It could be something like healing. We pray for healing and we believe in it, and when it does take place in God's time, we have received it. That image becomes real. Secondly, faith is evidence. Look at 1 John, the book of 1 John. The Greek word translated evidence is, I'm not sure how to correctly pronounce this, E-L-E-G-C-H-O-S, which means conviction. Conviction is knowing, and knowing that we know. It causes us to hold fast. We are confident that something is real, sure of its being. One perhaps physical way of looking at this is we are convinced that when we step on the brake in our car, it will stop. That's conviction. We are confident that something is real, and we will hold fast to it. We are convinced and hold on to God's word and his promises. Just like the Sabbath, we are convinced that it is God's holy day and we are to observe it, so we do. 1 John 5, verses 14 and 15. We are confident that God listens to us if we ask for anything that has his approval. We know that he listens to our requests, so we know that we already have what we ask for. And again, it's with God's approval. There are a lot of people who play the lottery, and that's something with gambling. We can believe we're going to win, but that's not God's approval for us. So we put our faith into something that we shouldn't be. The existence of faith in our hearts and minds is the evidence that what we have asked for does exist. Faith based on the Word of God is the evidence, not what we see or don't see, not even good or bad circumstances. Faith is not based on our feelings, our emotions. It is based on the facts and of what God says, the facts of what God says. The evidence is not found in our feelings. It is not something that is visual stuff or a sense of what is going on around us. That's not faith. Faith is based on fact, on truth, and on God's word. Third, what faith is not. Faith is not our hope. Faith is based on the word of God. Man's hope may be based on wishful thinking or particular circumstances that we're looking at, things that we are desiring, rather than the solid rock of God's word. If we have any doubt or any hope about this question that when it comes up, what should we do? Faith says, I have. The common phrase of I am hoping and I'm praying for something is actually wrong. I have prayed asking God and I am believing according to God's will. That I have and I will have. That is biblical. Let me say that again. I am hoping and praying is wrong when we're doing that in a physical thing, but I have prayed asking God, and I am believing according to God's will. That is having faith, and that is biblical. Spiritual faith is not natural or human. In order to function in life, we must exercise a type of natural faith. For example, we have faith in the natural laws, such as gravity, and we assume that it will work every single time it's tried. If we drop something, it'll fall, and if it's glass, it'll hit the floor and it'll break. We trust also in man's machines. When we turn the key on in the car, we trust that that car is going to start. When we flip on the light switch, we trust that the electricity is going to be there. These are laws that God has put into place that man has been able to harness, and we trust that portion of it, but we're trusting in what man has done. Flying on an airplane, we exercise human faith that it's going to take off, and we're going to be safe, and it's going to land. And it is supposed to be much safer than driving, the incidences of accidents. But we do have faith in man's machines. We trust in the food that we buy, and we trust in people that they are doing what they're supposed to be doing. We trust in our doctors. We trust in our mates, in our parents. However, our faith in God is spiritual, and it's a gift from God. Faith is not mental thought or responding mentally. John Wesley writes about faith, and he says that there is a dangerous substitute for faith, and he called it mental assist or mental assent. Faith is the spirit and not human. It's of the spirit. Faith is of the spirit from God, and it's not human. Reason, it's simply agreeing that God exists and that his word, the Bible, is true, that is not godly faith. Let's take a look at the book of James. James states that even the demons believe in this way, but they tremble and they fear in God's judgment. James chapter 2, and actually in verse 19. James 2:19. Thou believest that there is one God, and thou dost well. The devils also believe, and they tremble. Faith is not a psychological attitude. Positive thinking may be something that is good, brings good results, because being positive and moving forward is always a better road to follow than being negative and going backwards. But it is not biblical or godly faith. It is not faith from God. Paul says in 2 Corinthians 5, verse 7, we live by faith, not by sight. Number four, there are attributes that we see in regards to faith. Faith thanks God in advance when we pray to him that he is going to answer. We thank God in advance for his answer to prayers. If a husband decides that he's going to give his wife a gift, maybe he's going to give her a really nice, substantial monetary gift, say a couple hundred bucks for her birthday or for some other special event, and maybe their anniversary, and he says that it's in the card that's attached to the roses that she's received, she thanks him immediately. Why? Because she trusts and believes in him. She knows that that gift is hers before she even receives it, before she even sees it and opens up that card. In Mark chapter 11, Jesus spoke about this. We want to turn there. Mark chapter 11 and in verse 24. And I'll read this from the International Version. Mark chapter 11, verse 24. Therefore I tell you, whatever you ask for in prayer, believe that you have received it, and it will be yours. From the God's Word translation, we'll read this again, but starting in verse 22, Mark 11, verse 22. Jesus said to them, have faith in God. I can guarantee this truth, that this is what will be done for someone who doesn't doubt, but believes what he says will happen. He can say to this mountain, be uprooted and thrown into the sea, and it will be done for him. That's why I tell you to have faith that you have already received whatever you prayed for, and it will be yours. Faith will endure to the end, and we must have patience also, because as we know, God's will does not happen instantly when we want it to happen. So we'll pray for something, and then we're patient that God's will, if it's in that, what we're asking for will take place in his time. Abraham waited 25 years for Isaac to be born, but God kept his word. He kept his promise, and Abraham did believe that. In Hebrews chapter 11, go on, turn there. Faith does not look at calendars. Hope may last for a time. It might last for weeks or months, maybe a year. But faith will endure until it's replaced by the item that we are believing in, for example, the return of Jesus Christ. We pray for the return of Jesus Christ, and we believe that it will take place, but it'll happen in his time, and we know that. It's not going to happen tomorrow, but we still believe that God's going to keep his promise. Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 6, and it reads, But without faith it is impossible to please Him. For he who comes to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of those who diligently seek Him. So that's part of what we need to do as well, is to seek God. Let's turn over to Matthew chapter 17. Here Christ points out that faith is believing, and when there is a weak faith or lack of it, what can happen? This is when the disciples were trying to cast out a demon. Matthew 17 and in verse 19. Then the disciples came to Jesus apart, in other words, away from everyone else, and said, "Why could we not cast him out?" And Jesus said to them, "Because of your unbelief. For truly I say to you, if you have faith like a grain of mustard seed, you shall say to this mountain, 'Move,' and from here to there, and it shall move, and nothing shall be impossible for you." And again, this faith is spiritual, not physical, but it's according to God's will. We see that the use of faith, walking by faith, is vital. And there are many examples in the Bible of folks that walk by faith. In Hebrews 11, there's actually a summary of the people who have walked by faith. Hebrews chapter 11, and I'll go ahead and start reading in verse 1. And we read part of this already, but now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it the elders obtained a good report. By faith we understand that the ages were framed by God's word, so that the things being seen not to have come into being without the things that appear. Let me pause there for a second. We see things that are physical. God created them from things that we cannot see. Way back when the words were written, maybe this particular concept people couldn't wrap their minds around, but we understand that the elements that exist are smaller than the eye can see. Even under a microscope, they get down to the atoms and the neutrons and the little tiny things that God puts together. So all that we see, even us, exist, and God has put it together from things that we can't see. Verse 4. By faith Abel offered to God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts. And by it he, being dead, yet speaks. By faith Enoch was translated so as not to see death, and he was not found, because God had translated him. For before his translation he had this testimony, that he pleased God. But without faith it is impossible to please him. For he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. By faith Noah, having been warned by God of things not yet seen, moved with fear, prepared an ark to the saving of his house, by which he commanded the whole world, and he became heir of the righteousness which is according to faith. By faith Abraham obeyed when he was called to go out into a place which he was afterward going to receive for an inheritance. And he went out, not knowing where he went. By faith he lived in the land of promise as a stranger, dwelling in tents with Isaac and Jacob, and heirs of the same promise with him. For he looked for a city which has foundations, whose builder and maker is God. By faith also Sarah herself received strength to conceive seed, and was delivered of a child when she was past age, because she judged him who had promised to be faithful. All who walk by faith have left a legacy of doing. Psalm 119, if you would like to turn there. Psalm 119, and we will start in verse 89. Our faith is from God. It is the use of this gift that produces and demonstrates faithfulness, and God gives us both. It is our actions that demonstrate and show our faithfulness. Psalm 119, verse 89. O Lord, Your word is established in heaven forever. Your faithfulness endures throughout every generation. You set the earth in place, and it continues to stand. Faithfulness, then, is actually doing. Doing what is promised. God's faithfulness lasts forever. And here, one example is the creations of God. They continue to stand and last throughout the time. I'm reminded of the stuff that's going on in the news about how man is causing global warming without realizing that God's the one who put it in place and God's the one who's going to maintain it. Man does not. The arrogance that we have that we can actually do better with God's creation is just, to me, it's amazing. It's actually annoying when you think about it, what man seems to think he can do better than God. But for us, we show our faithfulness by following through and keeping our commitments, keeping our word, regardless of the distractions that we follow, that we run into. In Luke chapter 16, if you want to turn there, here we are told that the fact is, it does not matter the amount or the size of what we do. The fact that our mindset, our attitude, and our follow-through is where is there is what is important. Luke 16, and verse 10. Whoever is faithful in small matters will be faithful in large ones. Whoever is dishonest in small matters will be dishonest in large ones. If then you have not been faithful in handling worldly wealth, how can you be trusted with true wealth? If you cannot be faithful with physical things, how can you be trusted with spiritual things? If you have not been faithful with what belongs to someone else, who will give you what belongs to you? How do we receive faith? It is a gift. God gives us this gift through a process. Let's turn to the book of Romans. We heard the word of God preached, the gospel of the kingdom of God and his laws, and we receive a calling from him to follow Christ. Romans chapter 10. Our response then is of repentance, and then we are baptized, and it is followed by the gift from God through the laying on of hands and being given this gift to God's Holy Spirit, the little small earnest of God's Holy Spirit. Romans 10, verse 17 reads, so then faith comes through hearing the message, and the message comes through the preaching of Christ. We need God's help to walk by faith. Even though God gives us the faith, we still need his help. And for our salvation into eternal life, we cannot do it on our own. So he gives us not only the faith to walk, but also the to do, the faithfulness. In Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8, it reads, for it is by God's grace that you have been saved through faith. It is not the result of your own effort, but God's gift, so that no one can boast about it. The use of this gift, the blessing of faithfulness, is an ongoing effort. It's something that we can't just do once. In fact, it is something that we can't even claim as a trophy. The gifts that God gives us, you know, when somebody goes out and they play golf and they win this trophy, or they're bowling and they win a trophy, or maybe they run a race and they win. They take that trophy and they set it on the mantle, or maybe it's a plaque and they set it on the wall. God's gifts, we can't do that with. We have to use them. It's not something we can brag about and say, oh, look at this mantle. I've got several of God's gifts. It doesn't work that way. It's something that we actually have to put into use. And so it takes ongoing effort. There are instructions also in God's word on what to do and how we are to act. Let's take a look at James for this. There is also evidence of results in our lives and the lives of others when we walk by faith, when we live by faith. James chapter 5 and verse 15. James 5, verse 15. And the prayer of faith will save the one who is sick, and the Lord will raise him up. And if he has committed sins, he will be forgiven. So there's a promise that comes with that as well. But again, it's according to God's will when we are healed and what we're going to go through. And there's a whole lot we can go into with that. We just don't have the time. But praying to God in faith will save those who are sick. And the Lord will raise him up and also forgive us of our sins. We also have proof that Christ walked the earth in faithfulness and the blessing that we receive because of it. Because Christ did walk on the earth and he was crucified, we are blessed. And we can enjoy eternal life with him because he promised it. But there are certain things that we have to do. One of them, using the faith that God gives us and being faithful and using the faithfulness that he also gives us. Faithfulness is living by faith, walking by faith, our living faithfully. It is vital, absolutely vital for our eternal future. Walking by faith is doing, and doing it is faithfulness. Again, walking by faith, the faith that God gives us, the faithfulness is doing, and doing is faithfulness. There are examples from the Bible of people living, and we went through a few of them already, living as faithful servants. And we know of the different stories, and it is good for us to revisit them from time to time with the examples of faithfulness. Noah and the ark, we know that story. And there was actually a comedian who used that. And it was kind of a funny little story they used. But still, it was something that God gave Noah faith in God, that God is faithful. And Noah believed him, that God said there was going to be a flood. So he went ahead and did exactly what he was supposed to do. So his faithfulness to finish, he did not argue or try to reason with God that, nah, that's not going to happen. He was faithful and he believed God. Noah did as he was instructed and did not argue. For many years, with a lot of patience, he was consistent in his faithfulness to obeying God. He trusted God. He diligently followed what he was instructed to do, and he had patience. He could not go to the local lumber yard like we can, to Home Depot or maybe Carter Lumber or Lowe's or someplace else, and pick up a pre-treated or pre-assembled ark. He had to go out and find those trees and drag them over to where the ark was being built and cut them and let them be cured and put the boat together according to God's direction. Put it together piece by piece. How would we build a vessel like that? At that time, that was the only way to do it. Today, you could go out and have the faith that man has put this thing together. What lessons of faithfulness can we learn from this? I think it's pretty obvious. There's perseverance, overcoming frustration, dealing with the ridicule, doubts, things about self, health struggles that we might go through, injuries. And I'm sure over time Noah had the same thing, maybe getting splinters, all these different things that he had to deal with. If you would, let's turn to the book of Daniel. Have we ever faced any of the physical challenge that Noah faced? All of the Bible is written for our learning. We have not faced the type of things that any of the folks in the Bible have faced, but yet they leave a legacy for us of doing and lessons for us to follow. Daniel chapter 6. And we'll begin in verse 4. Daniel 6, verse 4. When the presidents and rulers sought to find occasion against Daniel concerning the kingdom, but they could find no occasion or fault. Why? Because he was faithful. Faithful to God. Faithful to his word. Faithful to the promise and praying to God every day. Neither was there any error or fault found in him. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in the fiery furnace. There is an example of faithfulness. Even though they faced certain death by going into that furnace. Many lessons of faithfulness to God and the walking by faith. And God gives us that faith, but God also gives us the faithfulness to do, to follow. There is a hymn, Great is Thy Faithfulness, and we see in that Christ is our example of faithfulness. And when we sing it, it's very, very encouraging that God has promised us And he is faithful right to the end, regardless of what our situation is. And we need to be faithful as well. Many great hymns and psalms also that speak of this. Psalm 23, for example, a psalm that speaks to the faithfulness of God. I'll read this. Psalm 23, I'll start in verse 1. The Lord is my shepherd. I have everything I need. He lets me rest in fields of green grass and leads me to quiet pools of fresh water. He gives me new strength. He guides me in the right paths as he has promised. Even if I go through the deepest darkness, I will not be afraid. Lord, for you are with me. Your shepherd's rod and staff protect me. You prepared a banquet for me where all my enemies can see me. You welcome me as an honored guest and fill my cup to the brim. I know that your goodness and love will be with me all the days of my life, and your house will be my home as long as I live. This is a very good psalm for us to turn to, and a lot of people do, and to read it when we face any kind of a struggle or a danger, or even as a part of a prelude to a prayer, and when we face this kind of discouragement or are tempted to give in or to give up. There is in the book of Matthew, if you want to turn there, an example of faithfulness using what God has given us. The importance of this is mentioned in the reward given for the faithfulness to God and in the Word. And that comes in two words. It is well done. Chapter 25 of Matthew. Here there is an example of contrast between being faithful and not being faithful, and the consequences of both. We know the situation here where three servants were given gifts of talents, and the first two actually used them. They actually were faithful, and their faithfulness produced growth. Even though that was a physical example, it still translates over to our spiritual life. But let's pick this up in verse 24, Matthew 25, verse 24. And he who had received the one talent came and said, Lord, I knew that you were a hard man, reaping where you did not sow and gathering where you did not scatter. And I was afraid and went and hid your talent in the earth. Lo, you have yours. His Lord answered and said to him, evil and slothful servant, you knew that I reap where I did not sow and gathered where I did not scatter. Then you should have put my money to the exchangers, and coming I would have received my own with interest. We will be held accountable for what we do with God, with what God has given us, all of the gifts that he has given us, the gifts of the Holy Spirit. We can't say we put them on a mantle or we hung them on the wall. How did we use them? How did we put them into effect? And how long? How long are we supposed to continue with this? How long are we supposed to be faithful? How long was Noah faithful? How long was Abraham faithful? How long was God faithful to the people of Israel, even though they often turned their back on him? And then they would return, but they turned their back on him again. How long was God faithful to them, to the children of Israel, and to all of his people? How long are we to be faithful? Even unto death, regardless of the situation, to the day that we die, we need to be faithful. God gives us that faith, but he also gives us the ability to do, the faithfulness to follow through. If we're looking for action steps, what would we do about using God's gift? What steps can we take to help us better understand the proper application of all of God's gifts, but this particular one as well, the gift from God of faithfulness? First, turn to God first and often. In Matthew 6, verse 33, reading from the King James Bible, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. I'd like to read this same thing then from the Bible in basic English. But let your first care be for his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these other things will be given to you in addition. So that's the first thing we should do. We do this by prayer and meditation, by then applying to our words and our deeds. asking God to help us to stay focused and recognize, we ask Him to help us to recognize when we need to use the gifts that He gives us. Secondly, recognize we cannot do it on our own. With God's help through His Holy Spirit, we can do. We can live by faith. Philippians 4, verse 13 reads, I can do all things through Christ, which strengthens me. From the Good News Bible, Philippians 4, verse 13 reads, I have the strength to face all conditions by the power that Christ gives me. Christ gives us the gift of His faith and also faithfulness. And we can, He promises us, we can do that if we apply it with His help. Third, think about it. Meditate on this specifically, on the specific gift of God's Holy Spirit, that of faithfulness. Think about how this gift of faithfulness actually would look in action when we face different things. Philippians 4, verse 8 reads, Finally, brothers, whatever things are true, whatever things are honorable, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are good report, if there be any virtue, if any other praise, think about these things. So there is a virtue. All of God's gifts from His Holy Spirit are virtues. So it's good for us to think about these things. Four, determine to know and apply godly faithfulness in all that we think, all that we say, and all that we do, making this a part of our character and a part of our personality. And ask God, pray to God for His help in this, because humanly, physically, we can't do it without God's help. And we need to realize that, and we need to determine to ask God to help us to be able to apply it, to see when it needs to be applied, and to see how to apply it, and then to follow through with faithfulness and do that. Psalm verse 19, verse 14. You all write that down. I'll read what it says. Psalm 19, verse 14. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. This is a phenomenal prayer, and this is something that it's important for us to have in our heart, on the front burner, so to speak. So we're always turning to God, asking Him to help us to use His Holy Spirit, the gifts that come from there, and that our thoughts would be correct, and the words that we speak, because the words we speak will come from our mind, from our heart, and asking God to help us in those ways as well. Accomplishing little things, small steps, so to speak, we will be able to move in towards large successes. Great goals can be achieved by completing small steps with faithfulness and with God's help. Remember the saying that is actually used in a commercial right now, that a body at rest tends to stay at rest, and a body in motion tends to stay in motion. That particular commercial has to do with some kind of a health thing. I honestly don't remember what it was, but that particular saying keeps coming back to my mind. A body at rest. So if we don't use God's Spirit, we put those trophies up on the mantle, and we don't do anything, a body at rest is going to tend to stay at rest, and we'll get nothing accomplished. We won't move closer to God. But a body in motion tends to stay in motion, using God's gifts, asking Him for help, and then taking that faithful step forward and beginning to act in faithfulness. A body in motion will remain in motion. And fifth, consider others for a fifth point. Pray for God's people in this area as well. We all spend our own time. A little saying I like to use is we all take our turn in the barrel. Sometimes our barrel is a little bit bigger. Sometimes a little bit deeper. Sometimes there's more water in it. Sometimes we get to spend more time in it than others. But we all have challenges. And this fifth one is consider others and pray for them, that God would strengthen them and show them, and they would be able to see it and put it into practice. We are to be found so doing when Christ returns, and that is, we need to be in motion. You can't be found so doing being at rest, because being at rest is not so doing. Inch by inch, success is a cinch, so we need to move. Even if it's very slow, we need to do that. For final scripture, let's turn to the book of 2 Corinthians. When we meditate on this, ask, what does faithfulness look like? Do I live by faith? Is my life an example of faithfulness? Do I use the gifts of God as a virtue? I very much appreciated the split sermon that came from Scott. My very first friend in the church when I started to attend was Scott's dad, Mr. Thubinen. And I would agree, he always showed the example and he always spoke well. He gave me a lot of good insight into a lot of things, so it was perfect that I met such a man to begin my walk in God's church. 2 Corinthians chapter 13. As we move forward thinking about these things, staying focused on our walk as children of God, using the gifts that God has given us, all of them. Last time I spoke of self-control, which is so important to applying all of God's gifts, and this time with the faithfulness that God gives us, having the self-control to apply it, using all of God's gifts. 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 5. Examine yourselves to see whether you are in the faith. Test yourselves. Do you not realize that Christ Jesus is in you? There's a promise. Christ will help us. We have His Holy Spirit, and He is in us to help us if we just have the faith, which He gives us, to take that small step forward to use the faith and be using faithfulness. Realize and accept that Christ is the one who guides our steps, our walk. He is the one that works with us. He is our example of faithfulness, and we are to be faithful, following His example. It is hard for us as humans to understand and to use this. Why? Because we are physical, and physical does not on its own understand spiritual or the gifts that God gives us, and they are spiritual. God also provides for us the will, the willingness to do, to trust and to walk by faith. He gives that to us. And He also will give us the to-do, the will and the to-do, to actively follow through on what He has told us. But we need to take that step forward and do it. The fruits of the Spirit are love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, and self-control, gentleness also. The virtue of this particular fruit of God's Spirit, faithfulness, this gift from God is to be used and to be developed and strengthened so that we can hear from God when Christ returns, "Well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful over a few things." Some of the things that we are to be faithful over is the use of the gifts from God.